Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees and guests to this third shower of the series of tranquil shower series that is happening at Radha Gopinath Temple. We have been discussing since the last two Sundays the first two limbs of devotional service, which is Shravanam and Kirtanam, and today we have an opportunity to discuss about this wonderful limb of bhakti of Smaranam, which is remembrance of the Lord. As we sang in this beautiful bhajan by Govindas Kaviraj, he writes that these nine processes are something that is aspiring for Govindas Abhilashare. That to perform bhakti through these nine processes is something which is desiring. And all devotees who are part of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya can very wonderfully execute Krishna consciousness when they involve themselves in any of the one or a mix of all nine processes of devotional service. So this aspect of smaranam or remembrance is very important, that this sloka of the nine processes of devotional service was given to us by Prahlad Maharaj. It appears in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and very clearly is mentioned Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. It is very specifically mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj that Smaranam has to be in connection to Vishnu and nothing else. So I would like to begin with a beautiful story which really gives us understanding of our situation of our life, which is basically in the material world filled with forgetfulness of Krishna. The opposite of smaranam, remembrance, is forgetfulness. So there was a gentleman in the United Kingdom in London, and he was walking and he was traveling to the trains of London, and while he was traveling, he was going quite a long distance, and the tube railway that they have there. So it is not usual, but at this point of time when he was traveling, the train met with a very strong jerk. And you know, in India we are used to jerks in the trains, but he was not used to jerk. You know, they don't have things to hold on to because there is no jerks. It just smoothly flows. The train just almost like flowing. So when there was a powerful jerk, this person fell down and he banged his head against a rod which was in the train. And when he was completely unconscious because it was a powerful hit that he got on his head. And then after he came to consciousness, a part of the brain which was affected made him forget everything that he was. He was Mr. So-and-so, his wife was Mrs. So-and-so, he was in associating, he was working in a particular company. He forgot everything. He didn't know where he was, what he was, how he was here. So for him, it was necessary for him to start a new life. Just imagine that if I am Sridharma Das and I forget who I am, where I am, and I, instead of staying at Malad, I reach Surat. And then, you know, in Surat, I don't know where I am. People ask me, what is your name? I said, I don't know my name. I forgot. So he had a new name. He had a new passport made, all new documents. Everything was new for him. And he lived as that changed identity for many, many years. And because he was in a far off place, there was no way his near and dear ones could find him because he was very far. So he practically lived for many years. One fine day while he was walking, he was walking on the street, and he came near a particular huge vehicle which was stationary, and they were downloading a huge crates of vegetables. So one person was downloading it, And while he was putting it in his head or whatever he was doing, this crate fell on this person's head. This is a true story. Please don't, it's not a concocted story. So the crate fell on his head. And as we understand in mechanics, you know, loose contact and again contact is made. Again some contact was made in his brain where he remembered what he was in his few years back life. So he went straight to the train and went back, and the family was so happy. Oh, that this person, where were you? And you know, what did you do all these years? But he had forgotten. And he came back to his home where he belonged to. Now it is a funny story, right? It is quite funny that something like this happens. But actually speaking, it is a story of all of us. That we have forgotten where we really belong. And because of a major hit of Maya, we have forgotten that we belong to the spiritual world. And we are trying to make our residence and our comfort situation in this world. But somehow or the other, by the stroke of mercy of Guru and Krishna, all of us who are present in this hall have got a chance to revive, or rather to remember what we were, or what we really are, rather, not we were, what we really are. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoy Shravan Adi Suddha Chitte Karare Udoy. The pure love of God is there in every person's heart. By Shravan Adi, by hearing the glories of the Lord, we will slowly revive this lost remembrance. We'll revive it and we'll remember where we really belong. So fact that we're discussing about Smaranam or remembering the Lord, it is a definitely a fact that we have forgotten Him. Because if we don't forget, there is no question of remembering, because we are always remembering. But the fact that the jiva soul has forgotten God or Krishna, that's why he has to engage himself in process of devotional service, which helps him remember God. Adau shraddha tada sadhu sangoda bhajana kriya. Very briefly explained by Rupa Goswami, that how does this process of bhakti really work? It begins with faith. We have some faith and we come into the association of devotees, sadhu sangha. And when we come to association of devotees, we involve ourselves into bhajan kriya. We start doing some bhajan. Bhajan means activities of devotional service. Bhajan. And then, while executing devotional service, what will happen is anartha nivritti. We'll slowly get rid of the anarthas in our heart, and we'll slowly get established into bhava, prema, and further things I explain. So our whole purpose of life, the reason why we are taking shelter of Krishna consciousness, is this process helps us to remember Krishna. Now, remembering Krishna is such an important process. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we hear so many rules and regulations. You should not do this, you should do this. We should chant Hare Krishna, you should not watch television. You should not be eating meat, no gambling, no intoxicating, no illicit sex. So there are so many do's and do nots. The way we should be, you know, Vaishnava etiquette that we should be following. But in the Padma Puran, there's a beautiful verse which says, Smartavya Sadatam Vishnur Vismartavyo Na Jatuchit Sarva Vidhi Nisheda Sayur Etor Eva Kinkara. All these rules and regulations that we are hearing, they are kinkara, they are subordinate to one very broad principle that we all should remember. To always remember Krishna, and also it is mentioned, and not to forget Krishna. You do this and don't do this. Means you remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. It is both the things I mentioned. That means it is very, very important. So, the purpose of the whole process of Krishna consciousness is somehow or the other to revive our remembrance of God, which we have forgotten. Just like this man who forgot who he was. And somehow or the other, by the stroke of luck for him, when something fell on his head, again he started remembering. But this whole remembrance is a process. And it is not a very fast process. It takes some time. We should be involved in this process, and when we follow this process slowly, we will see the results. Before we go into more details about Smaranam, we should understand that how important is this aspect of Smaranam is. One of the most important books for a sadhaka is the teachings of Lord Krishna to Arjun in the form of Sri Bhagavad Gita, wherein in 700 slokas he speaks about everything a sadhaka should know about Krishna consciousness. But of all the 700 slokas, what is the heart of the Gita? When we say heart, it is the most important part of our body, right? We might have hands, we might have legs, but if we don't have a heart, what's the use? Heart is the most important thing which really pumps in life. Consciousness is pumped through the blood. And who pumps the blood? The heart. So heart is a very important aspect of our body. Similarly, what is the heart of the Bhagavad Gita? Always think of me, Krishna says. Man mana bhava mat bhakto madhya ji mam namas guru mam evaishya satyam te pratijani priyoshime. Always think of me. Become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend Arjun. This, by our acharyas, is considered to be the heart of the Gita. So the whole Gita is simply meant to help us to always remember Krishna. So after having established that it is so important to remember Krishna, we'll go into further details on how does this process of Smaranam really work. Krishna is one of the names of Krishna in the Vishnu Sahasranam is Pavitra. Krishna is all pure. And when we remember Krishna, because he is so very pure, just the sheer remembrance of Krishna makes us pure. Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yatsmare pundri kaksha sa bhaya abhyantara suchi. It is explained, whether one is pure or contaminated, and regardless of one's external situation, simply by remembering the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, Pundrikaksha, one is internally and externally cleaned. What is this power of Krishna of purification? Can you imagine that just by remembering the Lord, the process of cleansing takes place? That's the power of Krishna's remembrance. Smaranam. So this bhajan kriya that we talked about in Adho Shraddha Tada Sadhu Sangota Bhajan Kriya, this bhajan kriya is nothing but the following of the 9 limbs of devotional service, which is one of it is Smaranam. So what is this? How does this Smaranam work? Our acharyas have very beautifully explained to us. This Smaranam is in 5 stages. It is the way we can progress in the aspect of Smaranam is in 5 stages. First of all, for all of us, we are all involved into anartha nivritti. We have a lot of anarthas in our heart. And Krishna does not come into a heart which is impure. He wants to be residing in a very, very pure place. So the first stage of Smaranam, is in the beginning stage, wherein one continuously tries to focus the mind on Hari's name, form and so on. Since the beginner's mind is uncontrolled, this smaranam is the action of the mind. It is the mind which is thinking of the Lord. And chanchali mana Krishna, Arjuna says that mind is very, very uncontrolled. So when a person is involved in bhajan kriya in the beginning, the mind is very much uncontrolled. He's not really able to focus on something. Right? We all have this understanding. You know, when we want to focus on something, the mind goes here and there. The intelligence is not the controller. The mind is the controller. And the senses go here and there. So in this situation, when the mind is uncontrolled, which is agitated and restless, meditation at this level is very partial. And it is constantly interrupted by distracting thoughts. Now when we are having the darshan of the Lord, for example, I face this situation many times. When we are having the nice darshan of the Lord, we are seeing the Lord right from his lotus feet and going up, darshan. And we are trying to have darshan in such a way that when we go in our respective duties outside, many of us come only once in a week on Sundays and have darshan of the Lord, Sri Radha Gopinath. All the other 6 days, we have to just remember the Krishna, the way he was, his form, the way we saw in the previous week. But while we have darshan, trying to concentrate on the beautiful form of the Lord, our mobile rings. Or somebody just calls you. Or your mind is going here and there, you think of some particular important service that you need to execute in the temple. So we are constantly distracted. And we are not able to really focus on the Lord in the initial stages. But by constantly involving the process of our devotional service, by chanting, by following the 42 principles, slowly our mind comes into control. Slowly. It is not yet completely controlled. And then we can think of Krishna in a little better way. And that stage of thinking of Krishna, after executing a devotional service for some time and after controlling the mind to some extent, is called the stage of dharana. Dharana means absorption. We can slowly absorb. Many of us, when we go to Sri Vrindavan Dham, when the first time we go, we don't really absorb anything. When we come back, we don't really understand what is what. But second time, third time we go, we slowly absorb the mood. Right? We remember, this is Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. Very, very important place. Srila Prabhupada did his bhajan here for many, many years. And we absorb the place. Right? So this is absorption. It says, in dharana or absorption, we develop by repeated effort of the mind, it gets slowly purified and the sadhaka is able to at least occasionally withdraw the mind from external objects and fix it on the Lord. But it is only in a very general way. We are not very specifically focusing on the Lord, but in a very general way we can remember the Lord. And this is the stage of dharana. But as we perform devotional service, we have to be having faith that by more and more performance of devotional service, slowly and slowly, my mind will become more and more controlled. And then we reach to the perfection of absorption or dharana, which is called dhyan. Dhyan se dekho, right? He said, see properly. There's a beautiful story where the guru of the Pandavas, who was he? Dronacharya. He was with Pandavas and Kauravas, they were small. And he was taking a test. He called all the Pandavas one by one, all the Kauravas, and he said that you have to shoot the eye of the sparrow. So he asked one after another that before you shoot, you tell me what do you see? So the first one said, well, I see the leaves, I see the branch, I see the bird. Dronacharya said, thank you very much, go aside. And one by one, the people came and many of them said, I see the tree, I see your lotus feet of my guru. And I see that the bird, and I also see the eye. Dronacharya said, please. Then Arjuna came. And he said, "My dear Arjun, what do you see?" And he said, "Gurudev, I don't see anything except for the eye of the bird." Dronacharya said, "Shoot." And went right to the spot. He was completely absorbed and focused on the eye of the bird. This comes by abhyas. Arjuna had a lot of abhyas, and because he had a lot of abhyas, his mind was completely controlled and he could really focus on the target that he was supposed to hit. This is the same way it is in the case of our sadhakas. We have to do a lot of abhyas, chanting, controlling the senses. And slowly we reach a stage of dhyana or meditation. This is the mature state of absorption. Whereas in dharana the mind is focused in general, in dhyana one is able to specifically contemplate the Lord's name, the form, etc. Now none of us, I can't comment for all of people sitting here, but at least I am not in the situation where we can exclusively contemplate on the names of the Lord and the form of the Lord. Rupa Goswami is saying that how much nectar is there in these two syllables, Krishna. Why? How is he relishing this nectar? Because he is completely absorbed, he is meditating on the name of the Lord. Because he is meditating, he has been reciprocated by relishing the nectar in these two syllables. When we chant Krishna, there's no nectar at all. But when Rupa Goswami chants Krishna, there's so much nectar which is produced that it practically captures his heart. This is the stage of dhyana. And as we go more further, see, it's very important. You must be wondering that why is this person telling us so many things? Because even the first level itself, I'm not reached. I'm not even able to focus on at all on Krishna for even 1 minute or on the holy name. Why should I really be bothered about hearing what happens next, what happens next, what happens next? You all are thinking like that? Right? But it is important for a student to know where is he heading towards, what is in store for him after practicing bhakti yoga, what are we going to inherit, what treasure are we going to inherit. It's important for all of us to know. Otherwise, how will we get the enthusiasm to go on? Don't we want to really focus on Krishna and nothing else? Don't we want to really have the taste of chanting His holy names and focus on Krishna and remember Krishna in such a way that there is no other thoughts coming in our mind? We want that, right? But slowly, but surely, we will get it with constant practice and detachment. Let us hear this very attentively, because it is a matter of time. If we execute the process of Krishna consciousness, we are definitely going to achieve the stages of Krishna consciousness. It is not something very, very high. It is achievable, and we will achieve it, and people are achieving it. So the next stage, or the fourth stage of Smaranam, is Dhruva Anusmriti. It is said, this is constant remembrance develops when sadhaka learns to meditate without offenses. This meditation on Krishna's outstanding qualities invokes an uninterrupted and unconstrained flow of remembrance, a continuous flow of nectar which overwhelms the devotee's heart with transcendental bliss. This is Dhruva Anusmriti. Where a devotee, the moment he relishes the nectar so much that there is an ocean of nectar overflooding his heart. Srila Prabhupada had these wonderful qualities. Just by singing Jai Radha Madhav at Gorakhpur, there was such an overwhelming oceanic overflooding in his heart of ecstasy that he couldn't control his ecstasy and he became choked up and he couldn't sing anymore. So we are talking about something which is right, something which our Param Guru had experienced it. And he has given this inheritance to us. If we follow the process, we will definitely experience it. Of course, we don't want to be, like monkeys reaching this situation in a premature way. That is not what we want. So, the fourth stage, as we discussed, is Dhruva Anusmruti. Where the heart becomes captured by the Lord's names, forms, qualities and pastimes. But this is not the last stage. There is a stage further to this. The stage of Samadhi. Spiritual rapture in the mature stage of Dhruva Anusmruti. Samadhi is the mature stage of Dhruva Anusmruti. Without separate effort, the devotee is able to meditate deeply on Krishna and is completely captured by Him. See, Krishna becomes the sole object of devotee's thinking, feeling and desiring. This is the stage of Samadhi, where devotee sees everywhere nothing but Krishna. And this was experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was in Jagannath Puri, many devotees are going to Jagannath Puri. There's a yatra in July on the occasion of Rath Yatra. You will visit this wonderful place called the Chataka Parvat. This place, if we see it, it was an ordinary sand dune, a small place. An ordinary sand dune, not even a mountain. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so sensitive about the remembrance of Krishna. He was so fine-tuned. In the radio, if we want to catch a particular station which is difficult to catch, we come to a station and then we do fine-tuning. So that we exactly get that particular frequency that we want to really get the station on. The pure devotee is so fine-tuned of thinking of Krishna that whatever he sees nothing but Krishna. And when he saw the Chataka Parvat, he went running towards it. There's a beautiful, diorama of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu right at the middle of the road. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya running towards the Chataka Parvat, considering it to be non-different than Govardhan. And when he saw the ocean of Jagannath Puri, when we see the ocean, we simply see the ocean as a water body which will give us a lot of enjoyment when we swim into it. Right? And we see the lot of waves. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the ocean, he was so fine-tuned that he could see it non-different than Jamuna. That was the level of course, he was Krishna himself, Krishna in the mood of Radharani. He was experiencing the Mahabhav. So this is the level of remembrance of Krishna that a devotee reaches when he perfects this particular process of smaranam. The gopis, the moment they would find some asuras running through the Vrindavan, or they would see some asura, they would run, and what would they do? They would embrace the tamal tree. Because they would see tamal tree, there's a complexion of tamal which is like the complexion of Krishna. They would feel same as embracing Krishna. That's how they were so fine-tuned to Krishna. This is the process of smaranam, remembrance. This process of smaranam has been very beautifully explained by Shri Rupa Goswami, substantiating it with a very, very powerful example. All of you please hear this example. It is an example which gives us a lot of encouragement that even we can do smaranam. There was a poor brahmana. This story appears in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran. There was a very, very poor brahmana who was a great devotee of Krishna. And because he was poor, he really couldn't do much for service of the Lord. He was so much desirous that I have a beautiful temple and I have beautiful deities and I can serve the deities to my heart's content. But he was poor. You need money for doing all these things. He didn't have the money. But he had a lot of faith. and the devotees. And he would regularly go to attend different places wherever there would be Bhagavad Katha going on. So once while he was sitting in a Bhagavad Katha, he heard one of the reciters reciting that you don't really need material objects to serve Krishna. You can simply meditate through your mind of offering a particular item to Krishna and Krishna accepts it. And he was very enlivened by this wonderful description that was given by the reciter. And because he had firm faith in this, what he had heard, he started having a practice of offering the Lord in meditation. He would go to the Godavari, which was a river flowing nearby, where he stayed. He would take bath in the Godavari and sit in complete meditation, with his eyes closed. And he would erect a huge temple. Beautiful large temple with shimmering domes. And he installed a beautiful deity, a worshipable object of his heart in the temple. And usually when we want to give bath to the deity, we invoke the presence of the different auspicious rivers by chanting the mantras. Ganga cha Yamuna cha Godavari, right? We do it by mantra. But in his meditation, he said, why should I do by mantra? He actually in his mind went to each of the rivers and got water from each of the rivers. From Godavari, from Narmada, from Sindhu, from Kaveri, from Ganga. He went in his mind. He's trying to understand. This person is sitting and his mind is going through all these places. And he didn't get the water in ordinary earthen pots. In his mind he created beautiful golden pots. And he would not use these pots. He would use it only once and he would throw them. What opulent deity worship he is doing in his mind. And then he decorated the Lord with beautiful shringar. And he said, why should I put any ordinary jewelry? I will put only the first class precious stones as jewelries on my Lord. And he put beautiful jewelry on the Lord. And he did this practice day and day and day and for months and years. He would sit in his meditation and think. Now you will say, well, how is this different than Sek Chilli? You all have known this Sek Chilli, this character who would do daydreaming, or for people who are recent times, there was a character called Mungeri Lal in our television. He would suddenly go into daydreaming. He would start thinking that, oh, he is a rich man. Prabhupada, we hear this beautiful short stories by Prabhupada when we do deity worship inside the deity room. And one of the stories, Prabhupada was talking about one potter. He said, a potter, he got one pot. And it went into daydreaming. He said, I will sell this pot. And by that money, I'll buy two pots. And then I'll sell those two pots. And then I'll buy more pots. And slowly, slowly, I'll become a big merchant of pots. And then I have a lot of money. I have a lot of staff. And then when I have a lot of money, I will get married. This is all in his mind. And then when I get married, I will control my wife. And if she doesn't do things particular way, I will kick her. And in his mind, he kicked. He actually kicked. And the pot that he owned, the one pot, broke. And that was the end of his dreams. Right? Similarly, we can think that, well, this person, this Brahmana is also, doing such daydreaming. But we will realize it is not the same. This Brahmana was doing for years. One day, he had a strong desire to offer sweet rice to the Lord. And of course, he was a poor man. Where did he get the rice and the milk and the sugar? He had no gas to really burn. So he went into meditation. and he bought the best of milk. And he lit the fire, got the best of rice that was available, put the rice, put it on fire, put adequate amount of sugar, and prepared sweet rice. Now Prabhupada explains, the sweet rice is a thing that should be offered to the Lord and devotees, not very hot, it should be cold. The sweet rice can be most enjoyed when it is cold. So this devotee, after making the sweet rice, before he offered to the Lord, he wanted to check whether the sweet rice is cool enough, or it is, at least it should not be hot. So he put his finger in the sweet rice, and suddenly he came out of his meditation because his finger got burnt. At that time, Lord Narayan was sitting in Vaikuntha, started laughing. Suddenly, for no reason, Lakshmi was sitting next to him. All the Vaikuntha Vasis were around. And he said, Narayan, what happened? What made you laugh? We don't see any reason why you're laughing. Why are you laughing? Narayan didn't explain to them the reason. He didn't tell them the reason. But he told his messengers, go down with the airplane and get this Brahmana up. This Brahmana was got up, and from that day on, he got Swarupya Mukti. He got the same form as Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. And he became an unalloyed servant of Narayan. Because all the service that he had offered for all the years in his meditation was actually accepted by the Lord. It was actually accepted. And Lord, after seeing the depth of his remembrance and meditation, the activities became so very intense. His remembrance of the Lord was so intense by the practice of his smaranam or meditation, that when he put the finger in his milk, the finger actually got burnt. Because there was no difference between his meditation and reality. This world is full of dualities. But the spiritual world, there is no duality. Krishna is non-dual. Remembering Krishna is same as, and remembering Krishna and offering something to Krishna is same as actually offering to Krishna. In fact, when Radharanath Maharaj was quoting this story, he went a step forward. And he explained that this Brahmana was actually offering much more than people who actually build temples and offer very opulent worship to the Lord, but if they have no proper consciousness of their heart. The Lord is not accepting that, but this Brahmana was actually tangibly not offering anything, were actually offering much more than people who actually tangibly offer something to the Lord. This is the power of smaranam. This is the power of offering Krishna in meditation. Of course, this is not very easy. Not that we all start sitting today after the class and we meditate upon the Lord. And we meditate that I am going to the Sunday feast at home, sitting in our AC rooms. Sunday feast is so nice, a nice lecture. And now I am eating puris and sabji. And now I am eating Shyamananda Prabhu in my meditation. It requires intensity of our consciousness. That's why we explained the whole process. By slowly, slowly meditating and involving ourselves into bhajan kriya, when all the anarthas are gone, then we can reach the level where wherever we are in Vrindavan. It is said, the mind is so powerful that it can make a hell of a heaven and heaven of a hell. Because if you are in hell, if the mind thinks, or the mind is in the consciousness of heaven, that hell becomes heaven. And vice versa. And how is this possible? Simply by the intensity of the mind, of remembering a particular thing. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York, city. He was 10,000 miles away. And he writes a beautiful poem. This was even before he got some success in Hare Krishna movement. It was the day of God Purnima. And Srila Prabhupada is also remembering the time that he spent in Mayapur. He's writing that today is God Purnima. And all my God brothers are in Sridham, Mayapur and Sri Vrindavan, having wonderful kirtan and wonderful elaborate abhishekam of the Lord. But here I am, all alone. But then he says, but I have firm faith in the order of my spiritual master. And I'm experiencing the presence of the Lord right here, even though he was situated in the most hellish city of the world, New York. This is the power of Smaranam. And there have been wonderful devotees who have exhibited, like this Brahmana, how wonderful this quality of Smaranam is, and how the Lord is so wonderfully attracted by this process. We have this wonderful example of Haridas Thakur. He was given a punishment to be beaten in 22 marketplaces. And there was no fault of his. The executioners were beating him. But while he was being beaten at 22 marketplaces, what was Haridas Thakur doing? He was constantly involved in meditating and praying to the Lord. Doing smaran of the Lord. And what was that power of his smaranam? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to send the Sudarshan Chakra to cut off the head of the executioners. Now try to understand, what is the power of Sudarshan Chakra? It is the most powerful weapon existing as far as in the world of weapons is concerned. Brahmastra is also no match against the Sudarshan Chakra. But the power of remembrance of Haridas Thakur was so strong, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said during the Mahaprakash, when he revealed the truth, that the remembrance of you, Haridas, was so strong that my chakra had no power to move. It couldn't move from my finger, it didn't leave. Because Haridas Thakur was remembering the Lord and praying to the Lord that please forgive these executioners. That is the intensity of remembrance. Draupadi, what a fantastic example of remembrance. Here is a situation where this lady is practically being disrobed by the most powerful Maharathi warrior, Dushasan. It's a very sad thing for her. The worst thing that she could even imagine in her life. She tried to save herself, but then she was remembering the Lord. That only Krishna can save me. So he was meditating upon the holy names of the Lord. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, with such intensity. And as we discussed, the remembrance of the Lord is non-different from the Lord. The Lord is present right there. And what happened? The intensity of a smarana was so strong, the Lord incarnated. Krishna incarnated right there in the form of unlimited saris, and she was saved. So there are different ways of doing the smaranam. As we discussed, Draupadi was doing smaranam of the Lord's holy names. We can also do smaranam of the Lord's wonderful qualities. We can think of Lord's names, form, pastimes and qualities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India and he met an illiterate Brahmana. We all know the story. And everybody was ridiculing him because every day he would read the Bhagavad Gita even though he was illiterate. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see there were tears coming from his eyes while he was reading Bhagavad Gita. Even though he didn't know how to read it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "My dear Brahmana, as I understand you are illiterate, but I can see tears coming from your eyes. How is it? What sort of pleasure are you getting by just seeing this Bhagavad Gita, that there are tears in your eyes?" This Brahmana was constantly meditating upon the beautiful qualities of the Lord. And he said that when I see the Bhagavad Gita, the beautiful form of the Lord driving the chariot of Arjuna is coming to my mind. And he said, "See the glories of this of our Lord Krishna. That he is the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, Bhoktaram Yagatabasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the proprietor of everything that exists. And here he is taking the charge of the chariot of Arjuna as a chariot driver. And what does it mean to be a chariot driver? The person who has been driven, he doesn't have time to tell left or right. You know, the sound cannot be heard in the battlefield. There's so much sound around. You can say, Krishna left, Krishna right. No, that was not happening. The chariot, the person who's been driven, has to practically kick by his legs. When he kicks the left side of the charioteer, the chariot knows, the chariot driver, that he has to go to the left. When he kicks the right, he has to go to the right. So Arjuna was kicking Krishna. And Krishna was obediently following his instructions. And when the horses became tired, he became the servant of the servant. He took the horses, cleaned them, gave them refreshing waters, got them back to the battlefield. He wanted to even serve the horses of his devotees. That is the quality of the Lord. When this little Brahman was meditating on this quality, this was bringing tears to his eyes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are actually reading Bhagavad Gita." There might be great pundits who can recite Bhagavad Gita left, right and center, up and down, backwards also. But they don't really understand the meaning. You are actually reading Bhagavad Gita, even though you are illiterate, you don't understand what is written in the Gita, but you have realized the meaning of Gita. This is the example of meditating on the beautiful qualities of the Lord. And the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. There are devotees who are so satisfied meditating upon one particular pastime of the Lord, that they don't want anything else in their life. They just get so much nectar from just one pastime, and they continue meditating on the pastime years after years. For many of us, when we hear one pastime for the first time, we become very happy. Second time, you know, we feel some happiness. Third time, we are repeating the pastime with the speaker. And the fourth time, the moment pastime starts, we get up. Because we are bored. This is the same pastime again and again. But here is one devotee, Satyavrat Muni, who is meditating upon the pastime of the Lord as Lord Damodar. He is meditating. If you read the bhajan that is written, the Damodar Ashtakam, you can understand to what intricate details is this devotee meditating upon the Lord. He can see the red cheeks of the Lord, which are you know, like the bimba fruit, which are covered by tears. He can see the earrings of the Lord swinging. What is that? Kundalam. Lasat kundalam gokule bhajamanam. He is meditating so intensely on this pastime, and what does he write in the end? I don't want anything else. Simply let this pastime come in my heart again and again and again. So here are devotees. For years together, they simply meditate upon the beautiful pastime or a pastimes of the Lord. This is Smaranam. And as you meditate upon the pastime with more intensity, you realize the glories of the Lord more and more and more. Kunti Maharani, one of the most glorious devotees of the Lord, is meditating upon the Lord's beautiful form. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this beautiful verse comes. నమో పంకజ నాభాయ నమో పంకజ మాలినే నమో పంకజ నేత్రాయ నమస్తే పంకజంగ్రాయ. Here is the beautiful example of how devotees meditate upon the beautiful form of the Lord. Kunti Maharani is explaining, my respectful obeisance unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who is always decorated with the garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Kunti Maharani is seeing the form and meditating upon this. I just remember one beautiful thing that we heard from Dayamrita Swami Maharaj of meditating upon the Lord's form. He was explaining in one of the Bhagavatam classes that it is only Krishna who can tolerate somebody looking at him for hours. And he told us, just try this out. Even husband looks at a wife, his wife, for more than 5 minutes. Wife will say, what's wrong? Why are you looking at me for so long? Or you look, if I look at you like this, what will you feel? You feel nervous, right? If a constant look at you, even for 30 seconds, you will start looking down and, you know, you feel so nervous. But if Krishna is such a Lord, then you can look at him for hours to hours and he will look at you also. Eye to eye contact. That is, only Krishna can do this. You can say, well, after all, this is a marble murti. What? This is not Lord. But no. Devotees have that complete conviction. This is Pratima Nahesh Tumi Shakshad Vrajendra Nandana. This is Lord Himself. And you can keep on looking at the Lord. The Lord will keep on looking at you. There was one example which we heard. What is happening in the spiritual world? The spiritual world, one particular entity becomes a rose flower. Everything is living in the spiritual world. So you know, rose flower is a personality who wants to serve the Lord. So rose flower becomes very beautiful. And Krishna looks at the rose flower. And rose flower becomes more beautiful. And Krishna keeps on looking at the rose flower. Rose flower becomes more beautiful. And that is what is going on for rest of eternity. And nobody gets bored with this. That is the spiritual world. Simply to please the Lord, and there is no limit to how much you can please the Lord. So this is how we understand from these wonderful devotees on how they perfected the art of Smaranam. Now, how important it is to remember Krishna. I was really enlivened by this wonderful prayer of Kunti Maharani again. They see that I want to somehow or the other remember Krishna. We are so important. And she's praying to the Lord. She has that conviction to pray this. What is she praying? I wish that all those calamities would come again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we'll no longer see repeated birth and death. So she's praying for calamities to come again and again. Because what is the importance of calamities in her life? She's praying that if these calamities come, then I will remember Krishna. And remembering Krishna means no more repeated birth and death. So Kunti Maharani is ready to suffer for rest of her life with calamities. And what sort of calamities came in her life? Right from the time that she was a young child, she had nothing but calamities. She by mistake gave birth to Karna. She married and became a widow in a very short time. She was banished to the forest. Her sons were badly treated. There were calamities coming again and again. And after all these calamities, when everything is nice, she could have said, oh, thank God, too much calamities. Now let me relax. But right there, when Krishna was leaving, she's praying, let these calamities come again and again. Because when these calamities come, I remember you. I do smaranam of you. And when I do smaran of you, it is so powerful to think of you that there is no question of any birth or death again. That is how important Kunti Maharani is teaching by her example to remember the Lord. Now, we talked about such high level devotees showing very high levels of devotion to the Lord. And here we are. We are not even at all on the level of what we are really discussing of the level of these devotees. But how do we, in our small, minute way, think of the Lord? One of the very easy ways is whatever we are doing, we should do with proper intensity, with proper concentration, with proper focus. Why do we, of all the things that we remember our chanting at Siddha Bakul? That most of us, if you ask, the best chanting we all had was at Siddha Bakul, or maybe at Rupa Goswami Samadhi. Of all the days that we have chanted in our life, why is that particular day very prominent in our remembrance? Because at that time, we were so very focused and we knew that we were sitting in such a very special place. This was a place where Thakur Haridas Namacharya performed his bhajan and chanting. This was a place which is Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. And because we are so focused, we did that activity of chanting with much more intensity. Can you imagine if we have the same intensity every time we do chanting? We become pure devotees. And when we do this chanting of intensity, of when we do anything with intensity, with proper focus, it is very, very easy to remember when you really need it to be remembered. Once I was with His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, and I was asking the Maharaj, as sadhakas, we go to our through our ups and downs. We are very enthusiastic at times, and sometimes we are very low in our spiritual life. We don't even feel like associating with devotees. We don't even feel like chanting Hare Krishna. What do we do in the situations? Sachinandan Maharaj said that I will tell you what I do in the situations. Of course, not that we should think that he has his ups and lows. He is a very, very advanced devotee. But he was teaching by his example to me. That he said, when I go through my lows, or rather when we all go through our lows, we should meditate upon the beautiful time that we have spent in our most favorite places. Think of the time that we were at, he was explaining, at Sri Barsana Dham, at Sriji Mandir, which is the holy abode of Srimati Radharani, and times that we have intensely prayed for her mercy. And when we think of such situations, we will automatically get enlivened, provided we have done this with intensity at that point of time. So devotees are requested to do whatever we are doing with intensity. We should not just eat prasad. As we heard from Radhanath Swami Maharaj many times in the lectures, he says, we should not just be eating prasad, we should honor prasad. There's a difference between eating prasad and honoring prasad. We have to be very focused. Now try to understand, every single moment of our life we have a chance to remember and focus on Krishna. But we lose it. When we sit with a plate of prasad, we are simply eating prasad. But it is the opportunity lost. We could have been focused on prasad and understand it as Krishna's mercy. Sayana amrita pao Radha Krishna guna gao. It is not different than amrit. But when we are focused, when we are properly meditating upon that particular aspect of devotional service that we are doing, we will make progress. There's a difference between chanting and really intensely chanting. Because all of us have to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Right? For those who have taken initiation or those who are aspiring for initiation. So choice is only between whether you want to chant attentively or inattentively. Why not select the attentive chanting? Because you have to do 16 rounds, there is no way out. But when we chant intensely, remembering, meditating upon the holy names of the Lord, hearing each and every syllable, we make progress in Krishna consciousness. It is explained that we become so mechanical in our devotional service that sometimes, even while offering obeisances to devotee is such a holy act. Our Goswamis would offer hundreds and thousands of obeisances every day. Just because they respected each and every Vaishnava, and this obeisance offering was such an important part of their devotional practice. But because as years go by, we become so mechanical in our activities, that I know of a situation that devotees, you know, sometimes when we offer obeisances, we offer with proper our heads touching down. But when we become little more mechanical, sometimes we don't want to bend, so we just touch the floor and do like this. Right? We can become more mechanical. And we had a group of devotees who offer obeisances to each other in a very unique way. You want to really know how? They would just say like this. Prabhuji Vancha. Just a V. V for Vancha means I am offering obeisances. So mechanical. It is a chance for us to make progress in our Krishna consciousness. When you offer an obeisance to a Vaishnava, we can. It is a potential chance for us to offer obeisance to Krishna within his heart and to the devotional service that is rendering to the spiritual master and to Krishna. But we lose their chance. Because we are not intense in our devotion. If you see the way advanced devotees have darshan of the deities, they are simply like bumblebees drinking the nectar of the Lord. And how do we do have darshan? This is not properly made. A barabar nahi hai. Fly mentality. We find faults in the dressing. But a pure devotee is raise the nectar of the Lord. So everything that we do in devotional service, we should do with intensity. Properly meditating upon that activity that we are doing. Not in a mechanical way. And another important thing of remembering Krishna is to see Krishna everywhere. Prabhupada, I was really surprised. Prabhupada writes in the teaching of Queen Kunti, one of the purports that he writes, that even Krishna says, Rasom Apsu, that I am the taste of water or taste of liquids. Prabhupada writes in the purport that even if somebody is meditating upon Krishna while he is drinking wine, he will make progress in Krishna consciousness. Now don't ask me any questions on this, but I am not in a position to answer this. I am simply repeating what Prabhupada is saying. If somebody is meditating, because ultimately what is wine? Prabhupada writes clearly, wine is nothing but a mixture of water with molasses and it is fermented. So when Krishna says I am a taste of liquid, when somebody is meditating on Krishna, in that wine, he makes progress in Krishna. He makes advancement. Of course, when he makes advancement, he will realize that he should stop drinking wine. So, but there are so many other ways in our day-to-day life where we can very easily remember Krishna. How many times we drink water? All the more now in summer. It is a time where Krishna is giving us to think of him. Krishna says, I am the taste in water. Would it not be so wonderful if every time we drink water, we remember Krishna and thank him for giving us this magic substance called water, which quenches our thirst, in such wonderful ways. You can never describe the taste of water. You try it. The only way to describe the taste of water, it is a taste of Krishna. Now here is a chance. And it doesn't require a very advanced devotee to do this. Any devotee, a first day comer into a temple, can drink water and think of Krishna. It's so easy. And by doing that, believe me, we are all making spiritual progress because we are remembering Krishna. Very soon, we'll see monsoon rain clouds coming. We can think of Krishna. Because Krishna, his body is the form of Ghanashyam. Is it difficult to see the rain clouds and not think of Krishna? It's so easy. Krishna says, I am the light in the sun and the moon. Why did Krishna say all these things in the Bhagavad Gita chant chapter? For what? Krishna says, I am this in this. Why? Just to encourage us to realize His presence and remember Him in everything. Now sun is always there on the daytime. And every time we see the sun, it is so very easy to see that this light. Shaman Prabhu was telling today in the morning class that nobody owns the sun, right? There is no on and off. Sun is always there. When you see the light of the sun, it is so easy to remember Krishna. And when you see the beautiful, when you feel the cooling rays of the moon, you can say that this is Krishna. Is it difficult? It simply needs some training of the mind. And you can do it. Krishna says, I am the fragrance in the earth. How many times do we smell a flower? We smell a flower, right? We smell it and we just put it down. It is a chance for all of us to remember Krishna. Just at that time, just imagine, the seed has no smell. The water we put on the seed has no smell. The ground has no smell. When the flower grows from the ground, it has amazing smell. This is Krishna. Krishna is so wonderful. What special fragrances are there? No two fragrances are similar. The first shower, I was once traveling with Giriraj Swami Maharaj many years back. It was in the month of June, and Bombay experiences rain, the first rain in the month of June, around 10th of June, and the first shower had just come, and then there was no rains. I was sitting with him in his room, and beautiful fragrance came in the room, and he said, Sridharma, this is a chance for us to think of Krishna. This smell that you get of the earth being wet by the first rain cloud and the smell, you all know the smell? That smell is the smell of Krishna. Then he said, try to imitate this smell, ask the perfume makers to make a perfume of this smell. There's no way you can make any perfume the way we can smell the earth when it is wet with the first rain shower. There's a chance to think of Krishna. He taught me by his example. He said, Krishna, this is Krishna. So we have a chance. Let us all remember this. When the first rain comes and the smell, let us remember Krishna. Amongst the bodies, he's saying, I am the ocean. Amongst the water bodies. How many times when we see the ocean do we remember Krishna? There's some training. And here we have a chance. Every time we see the ocean, we say, Krishna, you are so grand. The ocean has no end. And that is Krishna. There is no end to Krishna. There is no end to His mercy. And then He says, amongst the innumerable objects, I am the Himalayas. Every time we see the Himalayas, if we are properly trained, if we are fine-tuned of remembering Krishna, we'll think of Krishna. So there are ways and means every time that we go around, we can think of Krishna. When we see a bright green grass, we think of Lord Ram. This is the color of Lord Ram. The form of freshly durva grass. So easy. But just because we are not properly trained to think of Krishna, Krishna is making His presence felt everywhere. Every time we breathe, we can experience the presence of Krishna. Right? So smaranam is actually so very easy. To think of Krishna, in fact, it is difficult not to think of Krishna. That was the difficulty of the gopis. The gopis didn't want to think of Krishna. They said, we were trying to get out this person, this dark complexion personality out of our mind, but we are not able to forget him. That was their problem. And what is our problem? Opposite. We are not even able to remember him. Even when we come right in the front of his form, what talk of in other things? All it requires, my dear friends, is simply some fine tuning and some awareness and some training. And you will see what rapid progress that we make in Krishna consciousness. When we understand the presence of Krishna in everything that we see. Krishna is in everything and everything is in Krishna, he says in the Gita. So when we see Krishna in everything, then we will make progress in Krishna consciousness. And one of the last points that I want to mention before we end our discussion, a very, very important point which we all have to go through, is a time of death. We all are going to die, and at that point of time, the only thing that we can do is antakale chamamevam smaran mukta kalevaram, to think of Krishna. If we have properly trained our system of remembrance throughout our life of thinking of Krishna, then it will be very, very easy to think of Krishna at a time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. We are supposed to think of Narayan or Krishna at time of death. And one of the very powerful devotees, King Kulshekhara. We all know this beautiful prayer. It was so very dear to Srila Prabhupada that disciples would tell that he would be reciting these prayers while he was walking, while he was talking, while he was alone in his room. That's how dear this prayer was. What did he write in this prayer? He says, Krishna Tvadiya Padapanka Japanjarantam Advaiva Me Vishatume Manasaraja Hamsa Prana Pranaya Samayeka Favata Pito Kantha Varodhana Vidho Smaranam Kuthaste. He's praying. King Kulshekhara is ardently praying. He's young at this time when he's praying. He has a young body. But he's praying. My dear Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stem of the lotus feet of your Lordship and be locked in their network. Otherwise, at the time of final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? It will be impossible. The pain that we experience about death is so very, very intense that unless and until we have been so sensitive to remember Krishna, only then we will remember Krishna. I think Prabhupada was mentioning to his disciples that we should definitely all take part in the Rath Yatra of Lord Jagannath. And we should pull the cart and have the beautiful form of the Lord Jagannath engraved in our hearts. Because at a time of death, our whole life goes like a fast forward reel. Right? When you fast forward a reel. And at the point where we have remembrance of Lord Jagannath, seeing his beautiful form, the reel stops. And when we have the darshan of Lord Jagannath and we die, we go back to Godhead. If we have done the darshan of the Lord with intensity. So all of us, we are going to die. It is inevitable. And we all want to die in Krishna consciousness. And the only way we can think of Krishna at time of death is if we remember him. As This is a copyright of Sudama Prabhu. If we don't remember him, then we'll become remember of this world. If we don't remember Krishna, then we become a remember. We again come to this material world. So we have to always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. And at a time of death, we can only remember Krishna when we have led our life and we have trained our system to be fine-tuned to remembering Krishna. And of course, the most important thing that we learn about Smaranam, we are talking about thinking of Krishna, but thinking of Krishna, thinking of our spiritual master, and thinking of the orders that our spiritual master has given is non-different than Krishna. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittite Koriyo Vakya Arana Koriyo Mane Asha. That whatever Vani has been emanating from the lotus feet of my spiritual master, I want to make it as my life and soul. And I have no desires, 7, except meditating upon these instructions and implementing the instructions in our life. And what a wonderful example was Srila Prabhupada in this regard. He had got the instruction to go to the West in the year 1922. Ever since that time, he was constantly meditating and remembering the instruction which his spiritual master has given. Went through a lot of hardships, lot of troubles, never lost the opportunity to remember this instruction, always was meditating upon the instructions. And when the opportune time came, he went to America, and of course we all know the rest of his activities. So a very, very integral part of our remembering Krishna is remembering the orders of a spiritual master and remembering the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, the most encouraging times in our life is when we hear devotees remembering the activities of Srila Prabhupada. We have wonderful Prabhupada kathas during the Prabhupada festival, during the Prabhupada centennial. Just by hearing each and every devotee remembering the activities of Srila Prabhupada gives us so much hope and faith. Because why? But remembering a pure devotee has the same benefit, has the same purifying benefit as remembering Krishna. It's non-different. So if we all, like Srila Prabhupada, are constantly meditating upon the instructions that we have received in our from our spiritual master in our heart, making that instructions of our life and soul, meditating upon it and executing it whenever possible, that is the perfection of Smaranam as far as sadhakas like all of us are concerned. Prabhupada would say, there was never a time where I was separated from my Gurudev and from the instructions that he has given. He was always 24 hours meditating upon those instructions. So that is the perfection of Smaranam. So this is a very, very powerful limb. In fact, it is said the first three aspects of the first three limbs of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam, these are the most prominent aspects of the nine limbs of devotional service. And after a person properly hears and chants, he must involve himself into this process of Smaranam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. At this point of time, I would request if any devotees have any questions or any devotees wants to add anything, we would be happy to hear. Any questions? Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Radha Gopinath ki Nithai Gaur Premanandi.